writer for the Baltimore Sun with us from Disney World and the conclusion of the baseball winter meetings. And Ed, we're talking about Grant Balfour. We'll have some clarity there, I think, in the next few days. And then I imagine if they don't get Balfour, they'll probably get John Axford, formerly with the St. Louis Cardinals. But we've heard over and over again the desire to add a left-handed hitting outfielder. Do we have any idea who they're even looking at right now to fill that void in left field?
Well, I think that they went into the meetings really believing that they could really fill that void by trade. And, you know, I don't think that's really kind of come to fruition. So, you know, there's some free agents out there. Obviously, I thought that they were kind of in on Logan Morris, and I know he was a target of theirs, but obviously he came off the board. I thought he was kind of an intriguing left-handed bat who could kind of, you know, maybe needed a kind of a change of pace kind of guy, change of scenery kind of guy. So, but obviously he's off the board. So I think they're kind of, they've got a lot of irons in the fire right now, but in terms of really getting that bat, they're really just kind of sitting and waiting right now.
So there's no indication they're in it for the upper echelon free agents, the Shinsu Chus.
I don't think so right now. I think that, and I know how much you love Shinsu Chu, Brett.
Well, he does solve pretty much every offensive problem that they have right now. And he is the best player available.
He would definitely be a great fit. I just don't see that kind of money being invested in one guy. I mean, especially when you look at the events of the past week in terms of the trade of Jim Johnson and the team really not making even offers to guys like Nate McLeod and Scott Feldman. I'm not saying that the team should have signed those guys, because actually those guys got big money, and you can make a debate of whether they were really worth it. But in terms of the even giving them an offer, I think it shows that this team is not going to pursue a guy like Shinsu Chu.
The only thing I will say, though, if they do sign Balfour, my guess is that's somewhere in the neighborhood of 2 years, $17 million, maybe 2 for $16. They picked up Ryan Webb for $4.5 million. That actually looks pretty smart if you think Balfour is an upgrade over Johnson, which I do, a slight upgrade. To me, that's pretty shrewd. You turn Johnson at least into something in Jamal Weeks and a backup catcher in the minor leagues, and you end up getting a quality right-handed pitcher in Webb, and then you get a closer who's better. So that's actually outspending what you had in just giving Jim Johnson $10 million. I'm just saying that I think it's to be determined into how this thing goes, although I agree with you. I don't think they go out and they spend $150 million on Shinsu Chu. But another name I think to keep a close eye on would be Brandon Phillips. It's clear now the Reds have to part ways with him after it was leaked out yesterday that they tried to trade him for Brett Gardner, and they now have interest, I believe, in Omar Infante, who plays second base. The Orioles do have a needed second base, although it's not as glaring as left field and closer and possibly a starting pitcher. Do you think they possibly get involved in Brandon Phillips, who's pretty reasonable at his production level for his price?
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting scenario. I think that, I think before they even go there, that they would, kind of pursue all options with Brian Roberts. I don't think that door's closed yet, I think they like the way that Brian finished out the year. And obviously, when we looked at, some of the offensive struggles, Brian was probably one of the guys who worked at bats better than anyone in that lineup. Obviously, Brandon Phillips is a great player as well. I don't know if he fits inside the Orioles clubhouse, so to speak. But he's also kind of a change of scenery guy too. If he goes to somewhere else, then maybe he can he can fit in somewhere else, too. But I don't know. I think that I think they're going to try to look at other options too. And also, they've invested. They're not high profile moves, obviously, but they've invested a little bit of movement at second base with the acquisition of Weeks, and he's off the 40-man now, but the
Cord Phelps
signing of Cord Phelps, and to go along with Ryan Flaherty and a healthy Jonathan Scope. So he's got a lot of pieces there. So you know that they've made an effort there to try to upgrade that position. Obviously, there's no real front runner now, but I guess there is a front runner. It's Flaherty, but at the same time, you have so many holes elsewhere. Like I said, we talked about the left-handed bat and left, and obviously a rotation upgrade, and obviously the big thing right now is the closer. And they need to figure those things out before they they even go anywhere further into, like, you know, second base probably.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. As far as the rotation is concerned, clearly they were disappointed they did not land Bartolo Colon. What's next on that wish list?
Well, I think there's a few options there. I think that, you know, obviously with Colon, there was interest there. I mean, I was actually kind of surprised because I didn't think that he was really a fit for them. But, you know, when someone's going to offer him a two-year deal at his age, I think he's going to go jump at that most times. So, you know, I think the Orioles were only really offering a one-year deal there. And I don't know what kind of money it was. It might not have been as competitive as what the Mets offered. But right now, you know, from what I gather, they're still looking, and there's still a few offers out there. And, you know, we'll see what comes to pass of it. I still think that a lot of this stuff right now is really kind of on the back burner, though, because they're really, really focused on really trying to solve this closer situation. I think that the closer situation will move very fast once, once Balfour decides which direction he's going and what team he's going to sign with. I think once that happens, you know, the Orioles will really kind of, try to fill needs elsewhere too.
Yeah, pretty surprising how things have gone so far in some ways. They do, of course, do something that's completely predictable if you're Dan Duquette, and that's pick up someone in the Rule 5 draft yet again. Someone that I can only see making the team out of spring training if Manny Machado is completely not healthy, and you know, it's very hard to carry a Rule 5 player. In fact, you can make the case it actually hurts your ball club to keep a Rule 5 guy, especially in the first half of the year. Now, the Orioles have shrewdly done it in the last 2 years with Ryan Flaherty and T.J. McFarland, two guys who I would say are legitimate major leaguers and have, you know, lasted. Flaherty very well could be the opening day second baseman this year. What do we know about the Rule 5 pick this year and everything about him?
Yeah, I mean, the one guy they drafted in the major league course, Michael Alomar, he's a guy who, you know, he has some experience. He's 23 years old. He's been in the minors for 6 years in the Boston system, but he's never played above Double A. So that's a huge huge gap there to think that he can play at the major league level for the entire year on the major league roster when he's really never played above Double A. So, and also the other thing, like you mentioned, is he plays positions, you know, majority of third base, some at first base, that, you know, the Orioles are pretty entrenched in, you know. So can you really afford to clog a reserve spot with a guy who you're really not going to really use that much? You know, you can obviously use him at DH, but like I said, does a Double-A bat who had 16 homers last year translate into someone who can help you at the major league level? So that's a big question. And but I think they're really, really intrigued with the guy they pick in the minor league phase, which is Julio Borbón, who was a guy who they're actually interested in this time in April of this past year, because he was a guy who was released by the Rangers and picked up by the Cubs off waivers. And he's a guy who actually has a good deal of major league experience, and he's played in 228 games at the major league level, most of them with the Rangers. And he's got some upside. He's a little older on the older side, 20 years old, but I think he's going to get an invitation to big league spring training as a non-roster guy. And you really see, can see what he can offer. You really don't have anything to lose with him. You do have something to lose with Almanzar. I mean, if he doesn't make the team, it's not much. I mean, you basically would lose $25,000, or the prospect of losing $25,000 for the opportunity to see if this guy can help you. But obviously, it's a little different than the past 2 years, like you said, because Ryan Flaherty was a utility infielder, so he could play a lot of different positions. He was almost the ultimate utility guy for you. So he played that role. And T.J. McFarland, you can never really have too many left-handed pitchers, and especially in the American League East. So those guys definitely fit roles. I'm not sure how Almanzar fits. And Barbone, they don't have to keep him on the major league roster because he's a minor league player. But it's interesting. And I know that the Orioles really invested a lot of time into the Rule 5 draft, and Dan made that pretty clear when he talked to us this week, is every day he really mentioned that Rule 5 draft. So
yeah, he loves it. He loves it. He loves it. Dan Duquette, and this is not a knock, this has been his gift to the Orioles and throughout his professional career, which goes back to a great run with Montreal and a great run with Boston, and now a very successful 2 years here in Baltimore, where his thing is finding diamonds in the rough. That is his thing.
Absolutely, absolutely. And he does a good job at it. I mean,
sometimes I think he actually prefers to do it that way than the other obvious way.
Well, we were actually talking about this amongst some of the beat guys. Is, you know, his reputation has been, you know, you think about what he did in Boston, and you know, everyone wants to talk about the Manny Ramirez signing. But in a lot of ways, his success was really built on.
We're way late here. That's my fault, but I appreciate it. Love talking baseball with you, Ed. Get some sleep and travel home safe.
Okay, thanks a lot, Brett.
That's Ed Encina from the Baltimore Sun.